Well, it's time for another movie review.
Yeah, it's like a review and a recommendation.
Yeah.
I think over the past, what was it, maybe 3 months, I've probably mentioned this movie two or three times on different occasions. And I think it's now it's about time we actually properly address Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
All right.
We don't do a lot of newer movies, but this was actually one that made a big impression on us when we saw it in the theater when it came out. And we recently just bought it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And rewatched it the second time through.
Yeah, and it holds up on multiple viewings.
Yeah. And actually, the second time I watched it, like, I got a lot deeper, richer experience out of it because I noticed a lot of things that I hadn't noticed the first time and stuff like that. So Les, now you probably remember, I mean, I saw the original Blade Runner a long time ago.
I saw it when it came out.
Yeah. And I haven't really seen it for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
It must be said, Blade Runner 2049, you don't really have to have seen the original to follow the story of this one.
Yeah, but it helps.
It helps.
It helps build the passion for this movie.
Right. You'd be familiar. But I'm just saying, if you're coming into it cold, if you've never seen the original Blade Runner, which I don't know why you wouldn't, because what's the matter with you? But if you haven't, you won't be lost. You will be able to follow the story.
And for certain types of people, you know, the ADD generation, Blade Runner 1 and 2 is probably going to seem kind of slow because the way movies are today is that they're pretty much empty spectacles. They're kind of like rides at Disneyland. You sit in the theater and you go on this big ride. You don't know what happened. And you're like, boy, that was fun. What was that all about at the end? Blade Runner really isn't like that. It's more like an old detective flick. Set in a futuristic setting.
And honestly,
this movie takes its time.
It's almost like, it's like a mood piece or like a
very
tone
moody.
Poem. It is a very, it's not an action movie.
There's action in it.
There's action in it. It's obviously sci-fi, but it's actually, it's really an art film.
Yeah, it's taking its time and it's to build character, to build mood. And it's taking its time to really kind of draw you into this world that the characters live in. That's the great thing about it. That's what makes this movie stand out from the average garbage that they're making nowadays, you know, in terms of blockbusters. This is like the anti-blockbuster.
Even though it had a blockbuster budget.
Yeah, it was expensive.
It was very expensive.
And it looks great.
It looks
great.
Beautiful.
The writing is very good in it, especially by today's standards. The writing is very good.
Yeah.
This is a proper science fiction movie.
Yeah. The two guys that were the two screenwriters, one of them was one of the, wrote the original Blade Runner, and the other one was one of the writers on Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
So this is very, obviously it wasn't directed by Ridley Scott. It was directed by Denis Villeneuve, who is kind of known for doing arty sci-fi. He did Arrival. He did some other ones like that. But like I said, this is very much an art film. And if you like the original Blade Runner, the one of the coolest things about this is that, yes, in a way, it's a sequel.
Yeah.
But it's almost like it's not a rehash.
No.
It almost kind of like it deepens the questions. It deepens the mysteries. It expands upon the original themes in the original movie. And it looks exactly like the world would look 30 years later.
Yeah. Now, the world of Blade Runner is the same world as Alien 1, Alien 2, Prometheus, and Alien Covenant. And it also asks many of the same questions that the movies I just mentioned ask.
Yeah.
I actually like all those movies. You know, the Prometheus and Alien Covenant, some people didn't like them, but I own them on Blu-ray. Actually, I just own Prometheus on Blu-ray, and I've watched all the extra stuff. And, of course, I was geeking out about Prometheus when it first came out.
I remember that.
I looked at it from all different angles. That movie does make sense, but it takes time to figure it out. And you have to kind of know other movies, you know, Blade Runner being
it's
one
a whole,
of them.
Yeah, it's a kind of a whole expanded universe.
And like the additional stuff that was on the Blu-ray helps you. If you were to actually read the script for Prometheus, it makes a lot more sense. You can read the script. And what makes a difference in the script of Prometheus is that in the script, it's written what it is that David is reading inside the alien temple in Prometheus. And if you could actually read what he's reading, things make a lot more sense in that movie. But maybe we'll talk about that on another time.
Yeah, we'll do Prometheus
we're actually talking
on a separate.
That's getting off track.
Well,
this
really
is that same world, and basically the question is, what does it mean to be human? What is a human?
Yeah, and, you know, exploring, you know, things with Prometheus and Alien Covenant and things like that, they're kind of more exploring it from an alien point of view, like, what if aliens made, you know, a thing, or what if humans became godlike and things of that nature. Whereas Blade Runner is more like, where is the line between a synthetic human and a real human?
Yeah.
You know, is there really any difference when you get to a certain point?
Yeah. And is AI life? That's another question that's kind of asked. Are artificial AI holograms, are they real people or not?
Yeah.
And does it matter? Does it get to a point where
that's
it doesn't matter?
That's what I mean. Where you get to the point where it's like, does it even matter anymore whether they think they're real or, you know, do they have dreams or ambitions or anything like that? If they think they do, then essentially they're just like a human.
Right. Now, today's show, we're not going to do any spoilers because this is out of respect for our audience.
And this is a newer movie, and I know a lot of you might not have seen it.
A lot of people did not see this in the theater. It didn't do all that well at the box office.
Well, it made money, but not as much as they were expecting.
It made nowhere near what Star Wars made, and this blows The Last Jedi out of the water. I mean, it made up for the disappointment of Star Wars in that year.
Well, I think the problem was, I mean, this movie was very anticipated. It got pretty much universal critical acclaim.
Yeah.
It's won all kind of awards.
And it pretty much deserved it. It deserved the critical acclaim.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, I'm not saying it was overhyped.
I don't think Star Wars did, but this one did.
Right, but this like I said, we're not talking about
Star Wars. I know.
Seriously, I'm so sick of him going on about how much he hated Star Wars. I'm so over it. Okay, so, but this movie, I'm not saying it was not overhyped at all. It was actually much, much better than I was expecting. But the thing is, it's not, like I said, it's not an action flick. It's very long. It's almost 3 hours. And I know that some people can't sit through that maybe, but you know, it's like a visual poem really.
Yeah. I think the length,
it's very philosophical.
I think the complaints about the length, if you ask me, are bullshit.
Well, I think they're bullshit.
I enjoyed every minute of it sitting in the
theater. I did too, actually.
And watching it again on Blu-ray, it actually felt a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Like, well, of course it's this long because that's how long it takes.
Yeah, that's exactly
one.
Like, I don't really feel like, no,
it doesn't
I don't
feel
really
long.
Feel like, and I think that's really the only minor criticism I saw, like of the very minor criticism.
Right.
Some people said, oh, it could have
the
been
length really,
a little bit shorter, but I did not think.
Yeah, that. The length adds to the atmosphere and the feel, the feel of kind of realism and immersion that you get from watching.
That is a very good, it is very immersive.
Immersive, yeah.
And even, I mean, when you saw it in the theater, the whole thing, the visuals, the score, I love the score of this movie. It's not really music per se. It's just kind of like kind of noise. And it's like, and it really fits in with the whole world and everything like that.
Feel,
but you,
the emotions of
you
what's
really
going on.
Feel like you're in it. I mean, when we saw it in the theater, I was just kind of sitting there in my seat with my mouth hanging open for like 3 hours.
Yeah, we saw it in IMAX 3D, if I remember correct.
Wasn't it 3D? We did. And
it was just when they showed that city for the first time, how big LA was. And it was mind blowing. It was like, and it was like there's no way to describe it. It was just intimidating how big it was. And then when you see how these people are living, it kind of becomes clear why they're all trying to get off world. And all the stuff that was happening in Alien 1 and Alien 2, you know, that corporations ran everything, that, you know, there weren't, the nation states didn't matter. The environment and the earth is pretty much used up. Everybody's trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
The future isn't on the earth. The future's on these other worlds.
Because everything is pretty much polluted. It's just totally polluted.
And just used up.
Yeah.
Just used up.
There's just huge garbage dumps.
The quality
everywhere.
Of life is bad.
Yeah. It's like there's everyone's packed to these little overcrowded
places.
It's
snowing in LA.
Yeah. Things of that nature.
Right.
So, you know,
they're
everything
trying to
is
use
just
solar up. Power, but there really isn't a sun.
Yeah.
You can't
everything's
see it.
Just everything's gray.
Gray. Yeah.
And stuff like that. It's interesting, too, because, like I said, we just bought it on Blu-ray and we watched it again probably 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
And the second time I watched it, and I got this impression when I saw it in the theater too, but the second time I watched it was a lot more clear, is how sad this movie
it's
is.
Very,
it's so sad.
Sad, but hopeful in a way, in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's almost kind of a Victorian, what do they call it? Like that, what do they call it? When you sadden a color?
Oh.
What do you call that? Where it's like happy and sad at the same time?
Oh, I don't know.
I forgot what that term was called.
I'm not sure what you're talking
about.
So let's actually kind of go into a little bit about the plot, but we won't spoil anything, like I said, because I know that, like, before this movie came out, because you know how, like, your big critics get to see it before, what?
I remember what it was. It's just a melancholy. It was kind of a melancholy. Oh, okay.
Well, that was the word I was thinking of, but I didn't think that was the word you were talking about.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so it's kind of hopeful at the end, but it is ultimately a very sad story.
In the first movie, you had a company called the Tyrell Corporation, and it was making something called a replicant. And for those of you who don't know what a replicant was an artificial human being made out of genetically engineered body parts. They didn't live long. They were immensely strong. You could use them as slave labor. They only lived for, I think it was 4 years or 5 years. I can't really remember. They had artificial memories. They had memory implants.
Yeah.
And that's what helped them. That's what helped a replicant, I guess, live. A lot of the replicants didn't know they were replicants. It was one of the things. I think some of them did know, but they kind of emotionally leaned on their artificial memories to get them through.
And I think actually in Blade Runner 2049, the woman that makes the memories, she actually says something that the reason they give them these implanted realistic memories is because the more realistic memories they have, the more realistic their human responses
are. Yes. Right.
So that's why they do it.
And I guess also that kind of adds to you can control them a little better if they have normal human responses. Right. That's part of it.
But obviously,
and that was in the first movie.
Yeah, obviously in the first Blade Runner, the replicants...
they went wrong.
They went rogue and things like that. So hence
they would send
need.
Out these Blade Runners hence to the stop Blade them, Runner. Which was like a cop or a detective, and he'd just find out who was an artificial human. And they'd terminate them.
And they would retire them.
Yeah,
with
that's
air
what they
quotes.
Call. Now, evidently, the Nexus 6 generation from the first movie, they're now illegal. You know, you can't have them anymore. But Tyrell Corporation went bankrupt, and a new corporation kind of bought the rights to it. The Wallace Corporation bought Tyrell. And the new Wallace Corporation, their new replicants are a lot better. I don't remember which Nexus level. I think they were Nexus 8, I think. They were a lot safer, more realistic, and they were legal to have.
Yeah, they're supposed to be much more submissive.
Right, yeah, they made them more obedient. So the main story is about a Nexus, a replicant who is a Blade Runner who's going out and he's hunting the old Nexus models.
His name is Kay, and he's played by Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, and that's kind of that's where the story starts off. He's out retiring an old Nexus. I think it was a Nexus 7 or something. And
named Sapper Morton.
And while he was on that mission, he found some clues that lead him to a pretty surprising discovery that probably we shouldn't talk about in the scope of this recommendation for this movie.
But it's,
a miracle happened.
Yeah. And the discovery he made is so monumental
that the government and the police are trying
to
stop.
As his boss says, who's played by Robin Wright, she says, this breaks the world.
Right.
We can't have this.
They can't let this out of the bag.
Right.
What they discovered. And we probably shouldn't talk about that. But anyway, he gets caught up in this big, complicated mission. And with him, he takes his girlfriend on this mission. And his girlfriend is actually a hologram.
A hologram. Her name is Joy.
Named Joy, also made by the Wallace Corporation.
Yeah.
When you watch the movie, you're not really sure whether or not Joy is a real person or not. She's definitely a hologram. But you don't know if she's less real than Kay. And Kay's a...
But see, that's kind of the coolest thing because they have this kind of parallel thing going on where you have replicants versus humans... And then you also have a replicant who has a companion who's a hologram.
Right. And the other replicants kind of look down on you if you're a replicant and your girlfriend is a hologram.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's not a real girl.
Even though she is very real. She's quite real.
Yeah. It gets to the point where it doesn't matter, I guess.
Yeah.
You just have to watch the movie.
Yeah. And at one point he gets her a thing where he can like take her with him. And
It's called an emulator. It was an
emulator.
Emulator.
Yeah. Because before she was kind of stuck in his apartment because of the hologram thing.
Yeah.
In the ceiling.
Yeah. She had to be projected from the ceiling.
From the ceiling.
But then he bought this special thing with his bonus that allowed him to take her outside. She'd never been outside. That's a really cool part of the
story. But like I said, I think that's kind of the heart of the movie because it's showing, it's like, he's not a real person and she's not a real person. But they do seem to have genuine love for each other.
Yeah, I guess they do.
And so I think that's kind of the meta statement that the movie is making, is that when they've gotten to this point, when you've gotten to this point in artificial intelligence, it doesn't matter.
That it doesn't matter.
That they're not human or that they weren't born or anything like that.
Right.
It's like, you know, they are still just as real as we are. They feel the same emotions and things of that nature. And I think that's kind of what it's getting at. So I like that they have that relationship at the heart of it as sort of a parallel of the human android type thing that they have going on as well.
It's definitely a good movie.
Yeah.
It's a worthy successor to the original. This is a bona fide science fiction film, unlike some of the other dribble that's coming out recently. This is one that, you know, I'd recommend buying on Blu-ray if you're a sci-fi fan.
I mean, if you missed it in the theater, I feel sorry for you because this is another one like Mad Max Fury Road where you really had to see it in the theater to get the whole... I mean, it's still beautiful on Blu-ray, like on a big screen TV and stuff, but in the theater, it was like...
Yeah, it was a mind-blowing experience.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
I can't believe it didn't do all that well. It should have done twice that.
It should have, it just...
I think it's going to be like Blade Runner and Mad Max 1 or Mad Max 2 Road Warrior over time.
First Blade Runner was not successful in the theater either.
No.
It really didn't build up steam until later on when it became a classic. This, I think, it will follow the same route.
It'll definitely be around for a long time.
And I definitely, like I said, it's already won tons and tons of awards. It's just pretty much, I think it's 89-95% something like that of critical reviews are positive. I was reading an article about this movie in The New Yorker. This is going to blow your mind.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
Okay. You know the part where Kay is being given, like, every time he has to do his job and stuff, and he has to do that calibration test or whatever, the post-traumatic
calibration test.
And he's, like, saying all that stuff, like, interlinked.
Cells within cells.
Okay. Do you know where that's from?
No.
Okay. Do you remember the part where him and Joy are in the apartment and she picks up the Nabokov book?
Pale Fire. Yeah, remember I told you
it's from there.
Okay. I told you that.
It's a poem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that does have some significance.
When they showed that book twice and I said, there's something about that book.
Yeah. That's where that whole within cells interlinked within cells. Yeah, that's where that comes from. It comes from that book. Yeah. So I was like, whoa.
If you guys haven't seen the movie, every time he retires a replica, he's got to go back to the police station and they put him in this little cell. And they ask him a bunch of weird interlocking questions that are meant to, like, evoke emotion. And they're trying to find out what his emotional baseline is.
Yeah.
Because they don't want him to get so emotional that they can't control him anymore. And I guess they kill him, you know. So he's got to go through this ritual. It's weird when you see it.
Yeah.
And
can I also shout out the woman that plays Love in this?
Yeah.
She is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
She's terrifying.
Yeah, she's weird. She's very pretty, very almost kind of artificial looking.
Yeah. Well, she is a replicant.
Yeah.
And she seems like a replicant in the movie, which is really freaky.
Yeah.
But she's actually Wallace's, you know, the CEO of the Wallace Corporation. Yeah. He's played by Jared Leto. She's like his right-hand man.
Right.
Right-hand woman, rather.
Yeah, she's extremely strong. She can kill you with her bare hands.
Yeah.
Little bitty thing.
Yeah.
But she's fast, strong.
And her name is Love. And she's kind of the one that's kind of tracking Kay, like, on his mission and stuff like that. And she is a frightening woman.
Yeah, she's kind of like his personal James Bond robot. That and kind of a soldier and a detective all kind of wrapped into one. And then she'll kill a human being just without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
But she's quite icy.
Yeah, she was really a standout for me in this. Yeah. Her and the actress that played Joy, the hologram. Yeah.
Fantastic face, too.
Great face.
Yeah.
And just the way she moves her clothes, she always looks very perfect.
Yeah, like a fashion model in a way.
Yeah, but just her movements, her facial expressions, her voice, like everything about her, she seems very artificial. And it's like, it's an amazing, amazing job. Actually, really, everybody was amazing in
this. Yeah, there's no bad acting in it.
No, there's really not. Everybody is just perfect.
And Harrison Ford did a pretty good job of bringing Deckard back.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any problems with it. I mean, I went back over the movie and tried to be critical of it to find problems. I'd have to really turn my asshole level up to like 11 before I could really find any problems with this movie.
This movie was just, it blew me away in the theater.
Yeah.
And then the second time I saw it, I got way more into like the whole emotional core of it and the whole philosophical questions and everything like that. It's just a really gorgeous movie. They don't make a lot of movies like
that. I'm going to say nowadays, probably this movie will appeal to the 30 plus crowd. probably more than the younger
probably
crowd.
And like I said, I mean, if you like the original Blade Runner,
yeah, and you're young, similar, you'll love this one too.
Yeah, it's a similar theme,
right?
And really, like, it's totally a worthy successor. I was worried about it when I first heard that they were making a sequel to the original Blade Runner. I was kind of like, oh, that's gonna suck and stuff like that. But this, I mean, this way, way, way exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, it's very much a film noir kind of Humphrey Bogart kind of detective story. That's what the original was like.
Yeah.
And then this one is very much
in that same
vein.
But like I said, it's not really a reboot. It's an expansion.
No. Yeah.
The world is bigger. The questions are bigger. So it takes it to its logical conclusion, which I really, really like. And I really like that they did that.
And it looks just as good. It looks different. Of course, because of modern technology and CG, you can make a world appear a lot bigger than it did in the first Blade Runner. But still, it kind of carried on that same tradition. It looks good. Because one thing about the first Blade Runner movie is that it felt real to me. When they would pick something up and look, it was a real object.
Yeah.
And, the things that they were, like the cars and the computers and the things that you could tell that they were well used.
Yeah.
And broken and dirty looking, and
there
was garbage on the ground, you know, and just rain everywhere. And it just gave a good atmosphere of like you were looking at a real place.
Yeah.
You know, this one too.
This one has that same feel. And like I said, it seems like a logical, because, you know, in the first Blade Runner, you had particular technologies and stuff. And now in this one, which is set 30 years later, people use some of the same technologies, but there are some improvements and some new ones, maybe not that great, but it seemed like a realistic progression from the first movie.
And the budget was a lot bigger and the special effects are a lot better today. So they were able to take you into other places around Los Angeles that the first movie couldn't show you.
Yeah.
Like they take you to the dump.
Yeah.
And the dump's gigantic. It's got oil tankers in it.
Yeah.
You know, pretty neat.
Also got to say, Lenny James has a very small part in this.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, he plays Morgan on The Walking Dead. He has a very small role in this. Also very good.
Yeah.
Like I said, everybody in this is good.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really good. And if you haven't seen it, like I said, if you're into intellectual type sci-fi.
Yeah, then this is probably
And if you're a fan of the original Blade Runner and you haven't seen this yet,
I think it's for rent right now, probably on YouTube or maybe Amazon. You could probably rent it, download it.
Yeah.
You can probably watch
it. Although, like
right
I said,
now.
You should have really seen it.
I'm
wagging my finger at you.
For the money, I'd get the Blu-ray. That's what I did.
Yeah, because it's really, really gorgeous.
Yeah.
So
and the Blu-ray wasn't cheap. I think I paid $30 for that Blu-ray, but worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Going in the collection.
And actually, now that we're talking about it, I kind of want to watch it again.
Watch again. Yeah.
It's getting the same thing as like Mad Max Fury Road, where it's just like, it seems like one of those movies that I'm going to be able to watch over and over and never get tired of.
Yeah.
I had the same thing with The Shining, because we bought The Shining on Blu-ray too just the other day. And we watched it, even though I've probably seen that movie 25 times.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is one of those movies that I never get sick of. I can watch it every day.
So you're bagging on me about Star Wars, but I tell you what, for 2017, I was jacked for two movies, The Last Jedi and this Blade Runner movie. Blade Runner made up for my disappointment in Star Wars.
Well,
now
like
I'm really holding out for Solo.
Yeah.
The Solo movie. I kind of, after The Last Jedi, I'm like, man, it's going to suck. But what I'm holding out for is Ron Howard. Maybe Ron Howard can save it.
Well, because look how good
Rogue One was.
Yeah,
pretty
I really
good,
liked Rogue One, actually.
So
if it's the same kind of deal as that.
Right. I'm going to go into it like it sucks.
Well, right. That's kind of a good thing on any movie.
Because I went into Blade Runner like, this shit's going to suck.
Yeah,
remember that?
Him saying that
this
to me right
suck.
Before the movie
And I'm watching
started.
It, and I'm like, we're more than halfway through, and I go, this motherfucker's a masterpiece. She's like, this is awesome.
I know. It's like, I was just like, the whole time I was just like looking up at the screen with my mouth hanging open.
It's okay, Ron Howard, man. You know, do what you got to do, Ron Howard. Come on, man. Don't let me down.
Because Tom will be very
upset
if you
man, if that happens, I'm through with Star Wars, man. No more Star Wars.
Aw, he's so butthurt. Okay, so that'll do it for this review/recommendation. Go see Blade Runner 2049. It's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And if you like the show and you would like to support it, remember to check us out on Patreon or check out our blog and blah, blah, blah.
And share. share with your friends.
Yeah, share on all your social media. There you go. Share and share alike. It's fun for everyone. Break it's a it win-win off. Situation. And keep an eye out for our regular episodes, which come out every Tuesday, and our movie reviews, which usually come out every Friday. And that'll do it for this episode. See you next time. Bye.